Unlock your imagination and help us create improbable worlds and makeshift stories. When my son was younger, we used to play a bedtime game. We would invent characters and then improvise a story. Makeshift Stories is created in the spirit of our game. We have invented a fantasy world that our imaginations can explore, and you are invited to join us by adding your ideas for future episodes. Come visit us at our website at makeshiftstories.com. This week's episode, The Arrival.
Tim woke up, but couldn't move. It was like a large elephant was sitting on him. The last thing that he remembered was falling and tensing his entire body in anticipation of the impact. He strained to see, but could only sense brilliant lights and darks. Tim drifted back into unconsciousness. The Triffle looked at its face, if that was a face, for it only had two eyes. Like all Triffles, Amos was too curious to be scared, even of monsters that dropped from the sky. And this one almost hit him, crushing his painstakingly built outpost in the process. Surface buildings were hard to come by on Cirez, and there were few easily accessible materials, and even fewer places that you could put something that wouldn't eventually sink into the icy slush that covered most of the planet. Amos jumped back as the newly arrived monster suddenly stirred. Tim opened one eye and moaned. He heard all over, and he still couldn't see clearly. But something, small, like a squirrel or a ferret, was scolding him. As his vision cleared, he could see that this was no ordinary squirrel. It had the biggest set of teeth and claws he had ever seen. And as if to underline the little beast's ferocity, it was decked out in a suit of armor studded with spikes. Although its fur looked soft, it was far from cute, and clearly petting this thing was not a good option, so Tim decided to lay still. As the ringing in Tim's ears dimmed, he began to realize that the little creature was talking in a language that he could understand.
"Hey, you clumsy elf. You crushed my outpost and almost killed me. Don't you look before you fall from space? Or do you just jump and hope for the best?"
snapped Amos.
I just remember falling and then..."
stammered Tim, but Amos rudely cut him off.
"Well, I'd love to stand around arguing the finer points of our laws regarding property damage, but we've got to get undercover before the Oathers come looking for you. It's highly unlikely that they wouldn't have noticed something as big as you falling from the sky, and it wouldn't be a good idea to give you up, Mr. Monster."
Tim wasn't ready to move yet, but he sensed the urgency in Amos's voice and felt that despite its diminutive size, that this little creature could compel him to obey. So slowly he got to his feet, checking that he had no broken bones. Oddly, it seemed like he weighed almost nothing.
"Come on,"
screeched Amos as he turned and started running toward a small rocky hill. Tim could hear a low rumbling noise that was slowly getting louder. Amos turned and said,
"That's them. We don't have much longer to get undercover."
Although Tim's mind was distracted trying to make sense of what had happened in the last 5 minutes, his body had the instinct to turn and start running. Tim had never been a great athlete and couldn't be said to be a fast runner. He had spent way too many hours sitting in front of his computer playing online RPG games. But to Tim's surprise, he found himself almost gliding over the surface. Each stride took him farther than an Olympic long jumper. He quickly outpaced Amos and had to stop and turn to find him. Amos ducked into a shadow at the base of a rocky outcrop and disappeared. Tim almost missed where he had gone. The rumbling sound had now become the drumming of what sounded like thousands of heavily booted feet. And Tim could see a dark mass quickly growing out of the horizon. Odd, he thought. He shouldn't have noticed the curvature of the globe at such a short distance. Tim's musing on the optics of the situation were rudely interrupted by a shooting pain in his ankle. He quickly looked down to see that he was surrounded by a dozen or so armored Triffles. and one was sticking one of those spikes in his ankle.
Ow, that hurts,
cried Tim.
Hey, you big stupid oaf,
growled Amos.
Get going or we'll drag you.
Tim turned his back on the approaching horde and quickly followed the miniature furry army to the shadow beside the rock. To his surprise, there was an opening to a tunnel hidden in the shadow. Tim stooped down to look in, but before he could do or say anything, he felt himself being pushed headfirst into the dark. Tim winced as dozens of sharp clawed hands tore into his clothes and pushed him further down the tunnel. He heard the scraping of rock and all went silent. The Triffle army froze. One had stuffed its bum into Tim's mouth, so Tim couldn't yell. He struggled but immediately felt dozens of tiny spikes menacingly press in against him. Above them, the Oathers marched, shaking the ground as they moved. It seemed like hours before the last of the Oathers had passed. By now Tim had been pushed, shoved, and rolled into a large underground chamber with a low roof. He tried standing up, bumping his head in the process on the ceiling, which caused him to abruptly sit down. This unexpected movement induced panic amongst the Triffle as they scrambled to get out of his way. Rubbing his head, Tim looked around. Although he thought that the chamber was simply a cave, it now looked more like a miniature control room. The walls were made of polished stone and lined with a forest of equipment that Tim couldn't recognize. Triffles intensely monitored the equipment, periodically making adjustments. The room was bathed in a soft pinkish light, which made it hard for Tim to initially see colors. As his eyes adjusted, Tim noticed that the small creatures were dressed in four different colors of armor. The vast majority wore a blue-gray color, and there were also smatterings of green, gray, and white.
Don't move, Mr. Monster,
pleaded Amos as he squirmed through the crowd of Triffles that surrounded Tim.
We don't want any unfortunate accidents.
The other Triffles moved aside as Amos squirmed forward. Tim saw Amos more clearly now. He was even less appealing than when he had first seen him. Amos wore white armor and was covered in a soft, fine fur, but had proportionally huge hands and feet. Three eyes were randomly placed on his face, and his nostrils were at the end of two long tubes in the top of his head, which Tim had initially confused as ears. Still, there was something reassuring and familiar about him.
Why did you come here, monster?
Demanded Amos.
Aside from crushing my outpost, which you will have to rebuild, your presence here is most untimely.
Tim struggled to compose a reasonable answer, but all he could come up with was...
I tripped, or was pushed, I'm not sure, and then I fell. And now I'm here.
Amos frowned.
We haven't had a giant fall from the sky in a long, long time, and we have lived quite happily without one. Although some think that the last giant started their trouble with the Oathers before she left. So you can understand that you, just dropping in the middle of an Oather raid, may appear a bit too much of a coincidence for some of us.
There was a grumble of agreement around the room. Amos continued.
Some of my colleagues wanted to leave you up top to freeze, but we couldn't take the chance that you would be found in time to take the Oather's side. So, explain your presence here, Mr. Monster Giant.
Tim stared in disbelief at the defiant little creature.
How can I explain anything when I don't remember? I know my name. I'm Tim, short for Timothy. I know that I'm not a monster or a giant where I come from, and no one sent me. But I can't remember anything more. I've never heard of Oathers, and I've certainly never seen talking armored squirrels before.
Squirrel!
Exclaimed Amos.
That sounds like an insult. We're not squirrels, we are Triffle, administrators of the Great Alliance, GA for short. And I'm Amos, Chief of Operations. And these brave souls are the Advanced Administration Team. Surely you have heard of us. We run almost everything.
I'm sorry,
stammered Tim.
Really, I haven't heard of you. However, I do apologize. I didn't mean to come here. It was an accident as far as I can remember.
Well, you're going to have to convince us of your good intentions,
said Amos, as he gestured for the other Triffles to tighten their circle around him. The Triffles' tiny armored spikes bristled as they moved in.
And,
continued Amos,
you'll have to fill out an accident claim form and compensate us for the damage and your rescue. You can compensate us, can't you?
Feeling a little uneasy, Tim shifted his weight, and the Triffles immediately stopped closing in on him. He looked behind the Triffles and noticed how the underground chamber extended back for quite some distance. At the far end, it was empty, and looked as if it was being kept for some future expansion. There were several articles of winter clothing, haphazardly piled in the corner, that looked like they might fit Tim. Coughed Amos. Tim looked back to the Triffle, and noticed that they were starting to look impatient. Okay, said Tim.
I can't pay you anything, but I will help repair the damage that I did. Right now I'm feeling pretty tired. I think I need to lie down for a while. If you let me use that empty space back there to sleep, then I'll answer all your questions later.
Amos quietly conferred with the other Triffles. There appeared to be some disagreement. A big one wearing blue-gray armor was waving his arms and shaking his fist and pointing at the pile of clothes that Tim had noticed earlier. Amos picked up a small, matte gray device and started rapidly tapping on it, stopping frequently to show the others the results of his efforts. The intensity of the argument grew to the point that the Triffles monitoring the equipment along the wall stopped to listen. Finally, Amos held up the device above his head and shouted,
"The Quanticom predicts that there is an 80% likelihood that the new monster giant has no bad intentions."
Quiet fell over the group. The large Triffle spoke.
"As chief of risk management, I would like to remind you that there is still a 1 in 5 chance that this will turn out badly for the Alliance. And in my opinion, that risk is too high. The Oether are gone now, so we can take the opportunity to throw the giant back and let the elements take care of him. Either he will freeze or go back to where he came from. But either way, our risk will be reduced."
Agreement surged through the crowd. Amos intervened, holding up the Quanticom again.
"Raymar has executed his responsibilities well in pointing out the unlikely, but the probabilities don't lie. There is just a small chance that the new monster..."
Amos stopped and corrected himself.
"That Tim will turn against us. The last giant had a 35% chance of that, and we still took her in, and for many years she aided us. It was only on her last day that she appeared, and I underline the word appeared, to have changed her allegiances. There is still credible evidence that points to an 80% probability that the Oathers tricked her."
The room went silent again, and Tim noticed that all eyes were on him. The other Triffles had taken out Quanticoms and were busily performing their own calculations. Finally, Amos spoke again.
"I say, get him to prove himself by repairing the outpost, and let him sleep while we make our final choice."
This proposal seemed to satisfy the group, and a few of the Triffles broke away to fetch the winter clothes at the far end of the chamber. Tim reluctantly agreed.
"I will do my best to repair the outpost, but I will need assistance as I don't know what it looked like before I fell on it. Then, I really do need to rest and try to get my memory back."
Three Triffles struggled up to Tim, dragging the winter gear. The clothes were made of a spongy, rubbery material that Tim could not identify. The closest thing he had ever seen was neoprene. How did he know that? Tim thought his memory must be coming back. The material seemed almost alive. Was he imagining it, or was it radiating heat when he touched it? The parka and pants looked way too big. However, after managing to pull on the parka, which required a complicated series of contortions that sent half the room scurrying to the farthest corner to avoid being whipped by a sleeve, the garment seemed to adjust itself to Tim's build. Tim looked for a zipper or something to close the parka, but when he brought the two sides of the front panels together, the material, to Tim's surprise, simply fused. A moment of panic took over Tim as he frantically searched for a way to remove the parka. Amos saw the fear in Tim's face.
"There's no need to be concerned, Tim. The garment will respond to your commands. Simply tell it to open when you want to take it off. These clothes serve the last giant well. They will protect you from the elements. We built in a voice command system so you can adjust things as you like. If you say nothing, They will make their own choices.
Raymor clapped his hands together to get the attention of the Triffle, now scattered around the circumference of the chamber.
As Amos was the one who found the giant, and as Amos is making the case for him to stay, I nominate Amos to go with the giant as supervisor of the outpost reconstruction.
Fine with me,
agreed Amos. The other Triffle murmured their approval.
Let's go, Tim,
called Amos.
But first, sign this rental contract for the suit.
Amos handed Tim the Quanticom. This caught Tim off guard, and he hesitated.
Put your thumb on the Quanticom screen, dummy. It's a standard liability waiver that absolves everyone from responsibility in case I malfunction and squeeze you to death.
Tim's parka lectured in a parental tone.
Oh, just touch the thing and put on the pants and boots and let's get going.
The pants rustled a bit in response to the parka. Tim looked around to make sure the voice had come from his parka.
Okay,
he said sheepishly. It was going to take some time to get used to the idea of clothes that talked. Without any more incidents, Tim put on the pants and boots. Then he and Amos headed back up through the tunnel to the surface.
Thanks for listening to our first episode. We hope that you'll return and contribute to our stories in the weeks and months to come. You'll find our program notes on our website at makeshiftstories.com, along with audio credits, etc. And remember, you can contribute to our stories by visiting our site.